Welcome back to a new edition of our Dawson podcast, Big City Catholics, with Bishop Robert Brennan, the Dawson Bishop of Brooklyn and Queens, myself, Father Christopher Henu, pastor here at St. Joan of Arc Parish. We're continuing our topic from last week, talking about missionary work, Catholic Extension, a great podcast with Bishop Brennan and Father Charlie Keeney. Today, we're joined with some of the men who have joined that trip, the missionary trip to Yakima, a great conversation we have indeed to come. But we'll begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I take this prayer from the Catholic Extension's website, beautiful prayer that speaks about this idea of missionary work. God of mercy, give us your compassion to help the refugees, the orphaned, the widows, the starving, and the hopeless this day. God of peace, grant us your healing touch to serve those damaged in body and shattered in spirit by violence and war. God of justice, give us your strength to work toward reconciliation in the Middle East and all the front lines of our world. God of love, grant us the vision to see beyond our history of hurt, beyond vengeance and the cycle of fruitless reprisal. God of our human family, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We offer you this prayer that we may be changed. We offer you our fasting that you may fill our hunger for peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Bishop, I really enjoyed your podcast last week with Father Charlie Keeney. I wish I could have been on site in Yakima, but we had a little bit of busy time here in Jackson Heights in this time of transition, but it sounded like a great, great experience.
And Father Keeney is a true believer, true missionary at heart. I didn't have to do much talking during that because he just carried that so beautifully. You can see he's a real enthusiast for the work of Catholic Extension Society. And again, he directed our mission office for a number of years. He has a love for the greater missions in general. So there were 10 of us all together from Brooklyn on this pilgrimage. At the end of the pilgrimage, we had a chance for some theological reflection as well. We sat around a table and shared some of the impactful moments of the trip and how maybe it might have affected us. And I thought this would be a great opportunity for us here too, to do something similar. We may have different things that we talk about, but I'm going to start with Father Juan Luxama, who is at St. Bernadette Church. But Father Juan, you've been on these trips before. You come as a bit of a veteran, right?
Yes, I am.
So tell me about your overall experience with Catholic Extension. So what brings you back?
First of all, Bishop, thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this trip, and Father Duane will organize it, and all those who were there, so happy. What brought me back is really the work Catholic Extension is doing throughout the United States and abroad to build churches, to be a witness of hope for the diocese overall in the United States, and to find a way to bring people together, the priests together. And what really is so interesting for me is that when I look at the history, the work that they do, and I said, I want to be a part of it because that's who I am. That's what I enjoy doing. So I'm always on alert to see what next. When is the next immersion program? And what is the overall goal and where I'm going and what the needs are? And I'm trying to find out, how can I be a part of this work that they do, to share my opinion, to also share my work, what we do here in Brooklyn, and how can we help them? But I have to say this, though. Going mission always been my dream. I've always been a missionary person from day one, starting from my family. And my father always do that on the weekend. On the weekend, my father, whenever he has some time, he will go to local village to spread the good word, to spread the good news. And my cousin, who was a Monsignor from my hometown, he was a rector at the cathedral. He wished to bring me along with him to do this kind of work. So he always been a part of my life to always go and mission or bring the hope toward the people who are in need. And Catholic Extension provided me that opportunity. So I jumped ahead and I said, I want to be a part of it from day one. But I have to credit Father Charlie Keeney, who introduced me to this great society. Him and I, we've been friends for many years. Mm-hmm. And when he went on the trip, he came back with overjoy and said, Juan, I found something for you. I think you should be a part of it too. He did say that. I found something that you will like. You will be happy to do during the summertime when you have free time. And he brought me along with him. And I kept going ever since.
Good for you. Good. So, where are some of the places you've gone? What are some of the extension trips you've made?
So the first trip I went was Little Rock, Arkansas. But I went there for one reason, to visit the little church. This guy is going to become a saint very soon. He's been processed too. But I really want to go there because I saw that the work that they do there, the needs is really what I'm doing here in Brooklyn. So I really want to be a part of that mission. So I went to Little Rock. I'm not expecting anything. I saw the work, saw the migrant, saw the chicken farm, the church. Oh, really, 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 people live below what I was expecting it. It's kind of renew my faith another way. So I really need that. So I went to Little Rock to see how can I help them and what can I do and what will help me in my future priestly life down the line. And also I went there because I want to see some of my classmates that I studied with from the NAC. So I heard that there's some of my classmates who I studied with from Little Rock, and I heard that they were going to be on the trip. And I'll be some of the churches that they've been working with. So I really go there to not only to see, but also to meet some of my classmates that was there as well too.
Good, good, good. And then from there, what other trips have you made?
From there, I heard there's a trip to San Juan, to Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
And I said, Puerto Rico, I've never been there. And I spoke to Valerie and Natalie, who's in charge of the trip. And they said to me, there's a priest called Father Olay. He lives in San Juan. He's in charge of the migrant, the Haitian migrant in San Juan. And I think you'd be happy to meet him. He took care of the migrant who came from Haiti, especially now with all the situation going in Haiti. So I think it would be good for you. And you can help us with the translation because it's not good in English to begin with. So you can definitely help us. So I went there and I was amazed with Father Ole, the work that he does. The Archbishop Roberto gave him a parish, St. Matthew, right in San Juan. His mission is to welcome the Haitian migrant came from the boat who survived 1 week on the boat. Welcome them, taking care of them. And I was amazed by his work. Anyone who survived the trip after 1 week, usually it's a small little boat, about 20 of them take the trip on the sea, and usually a couple of them survive, not all of them survive. So when they finally reach there, the diocese welcomed them, and Father Olin took care of them from day one, get them a job and everything like that too. And so I really want to go see the camp where the Haitian are, because Diocese of Brooklyn take care of the migrant, especially the Haitian community who actually flee and come across the board.
Yes.
And the Diocese of Brooklyn is a champion in that process, helping the Haitian. So I really want to be a part of that trip. So I can let them know that the Diocese of Brooklyn is with them, is praying for them, and is with them during this journey. And how can we better help them?
Certainly, we have a large Haitian community here, and we keep up with all the things that are happening in Haiti. The situation's dire. And then you add to that some people who made that kind of a trip. So we're meeting people with human needs and with pastoral needs. I mean, that's really what was so remarkable about this experience for me is that this is the church being the church. It's the church that we do some of the charitable things that the church does, but this was really about celebrating the sacraments, being present to people, praying with people. To me, that was just so moving. Father Ikenna is the pastor at St. Jude Shrine Church. And I don't know, I say Canarsie, the paper says Mill Basin, maybe a
Yes,
little bit of both,
Canarsie.
right?
Yes, a little bit of both, but it's
A
actually
little bit of
Canarsie.
both. And this was your first Catholic extension trip, right?
Yes, Bishop, this is my first.
So Father Dwayne Davis was the local priest who did a lot of the coordination. And Father Keeney explained last week that this trip was different from other trips because usually you're on a trip with priests from all over the country. You might be the only one from your diocese. But this was a group of us from one place, from Brooklyn, walking together. And there was something different about that. That was a good experience for us to be together as priests. Tell me your reaction when Father Davis called you, because you did say you were a little surprised.
Yes. When I received the invitation to join in the mission trip, I know it is a mission trip according to what he told me. But I asked him, what does it involve? So he gave me a lot of explanation. I said, what are we actually, you know, going there to do? So I would like to know, because I know that I'm abusing the parish. He tried his best, but he ended by saying, Ikena, why not just, you know, come and see, and then you will then know what this is all about. I don't think I can offer more explanation than what I have already done. So I said, okay, but not yet convinced if I'm going. He said, well, I'm going to give you 2 weeks to think about it. If you make up your mind, just let me know. But it's going to be 2 weeks. So after 2 weeks, he called again. Are you ready? I said, well, yes, I would, you know, join in the trip. So the day came, and then we all flew from JFK to Seattle. And then when we got to the airport, I said, well, Father, I'm here with you, and I'm yet to see. And then from Seattle, we went to the hotel where we lodged. And then I said, well, I can see that we are here, but what are we actually going to say? Just wait. This the fourth day, you will see for yourself. I said, okay. That evening, we went to the camp at Wenatchee. And immediately we stepped into the camp. I realized the reason why we are there. Though everything, I didn't, you know, conceive everything at the first. We went through the camp. My first impression in the camp was, oh, we are here to render help. But after the mission trip, I said to myself, no, it's not going to render help, but at the same time receiving help. Because, yes, I thought...
Very insightful, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I came back transformed by the lives of the people I met at the camp. My thinking going was, oh, I'm going to be the one that will, you know, offer. But I actually ended up being the one that received. And I am very grateful. I'm very grateful to that. And then, you know, within the whole process of reflection, I said that, well, you know, no matter how we see ourselves, no matter how little we have, we actually have something to give. It may not be, you know, in material terms, but everybody has something to give. Those in the farm and in the camp can offer me this new way of seeing light, you know, helping me in my priestly journey and mission. You know, yeah, anyone has something, everybody has something to give, and that's it.
That's a very good point, because I kind of shared the same experience as you. It's my first experience. And, you know, I'd think, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to bring? And really, at first, it was a little bit unsettling, because there was a part of me that almost felt as if we were being a little intrusive. People were showing us their living quarters, and we went over to the orchards where people were picking, and we sort of watched them do their work, and they kind of had to work around us. And when they're picking fruit, you know, time is of the essence. When you get paid by the bucketful, you don't want somebody standing in your way. People wanted to share the journey of their lives with us, and they wanted us to learn something. And yeah, you're right, we didn't give very much. In fact, I think as you go through this Catholic extension, it's very clear. They don't want you to do anything. You're not there to help. You're there to learn. That's a big insight, Ikenna. I'm glad you pointed that out, because that was a revelation of this trip. Yeah.
Yeah. And it felt much like a retreat, but getting more than,
yeah,
you know, what you will always get in those individual retreats or group retreats. Because this one, it was real, you know, being with the people, and then going on a mission, and then coming back, you know, as just a missionary to your own church, because you are bringing something new to them from that experience.
On one night, we went out to a different camp and celebrated Mass. That was quite the experience.
Yes. Before the Mass, I had Bishop Joseph Tyson, who said because of the needs of the people, he had to give them the dispensation of having the Sunday Mass celebrated on the weekend. So they have to, you know, leave very early in the morning to go to the camp, sometime 3 a.m., sometime 2 a.m., depending. And then when they come back, the sun is out and everything. And so they do it, you know, from week to week, Sunday to Sunday. And so in order to bring the gospel to them, he had, you know, his priest and himself go to the farm to be there with them and celebrate the liturgy with them. And in order to also meet the needs of the parishes, to celebrate the Sunday liturgy in the parishes. So those in the camp, they have the liturgy celebrated for them during that weekday. And then on Sundays, the priest and then the bishop will be in the parishes in order to make sure that everybody received that liturgy. So it was good. And then celebrating with them in that open space. Yeah, and how happy they were. They were, you know, happy, relaxed, and the communion, you could see, you know, that sense of communion among them. Yeah, I didn't want to go. There are some places where I went, I was like, oh God, I want to be. But that particular day, you know, when we went to that camp, I was like, God, this is good. This place is good. And the mountain and everything, yeah.
If I may, you know, in just listening to some of your experiences and listening to last week's podcast with Father Keeney, as you mentioned, Father Kenna, it was described as like a retreat, but also a learning experience and a lot packed into just those 3 days. A great opportunity, though, too, as I think his brother priests and the diocese to go together, especially with our chief shepherd. A great example for us as priests to have our bishop on the journey with them. What was it like, Father Kenna, Father Luxama? What was it like for you guys just to spend that time with some priests of the diocese? You may not have even really known, or you were creating friendships with some of them as well. What were those experiences like?
Okay. I think I said that to the bishop, I think, during one breakfast. Bishop and I were having coffee. And I said, Bishop, this is a really mini retreat for us to be together. And this is a historical thing because all the trips that I've been so far is a lot of strangers. There's nobody from Northeast, usually people from Midwest, all over the place. And this is a great thing for us. To ensure unity, we are working together, and we have one mission, and to set the example for the other diocese and to partnership with Catholic Extension, this is like incredible. I never thought I would see that a bishop take 3 days of his time, of his busy schedule, to travel with the priests from the diocese and to be a part of the journey of the people. It was like amazing. It was a great thing to see other priests that I don't really know and I probably say hi to. So it was an awkward but a great experience to be together, to bring faith and hope. And when people heard we're from Brooklyn and the bishop is there, they're like, wow, really? Yeah. I said, yeah, he's here.
Brooklyn is in the house.
Brooklyn is here. So they just can't believe that the bishop is here because that's never been done before. It's never been heard. The bishop is here with the priest. Usually the priest or the bishop. But to be there together is strengthening the faith.
Yeah, I can say for me, it was a great thing to be able to be together with a small group of priests and to spend an intense time and an intense experience together. Those are some of the bonds that are pretty deep and pretty important, you know. Father McKenna.
Yes, it was, an awesome experience. It felt like we were outside the diocese and at the same time within the diocese. We were in Yakima, but seems as if we are in Brooklyn whenever we sit together to, you know, have conversation and then share experience. And then with the bishop, you know, being there with us makes me think of that statement that is attributed to St. Ignatius of Antioch, I believe. Wherever the bishop is, there is the church. So having you there, you know, seems as if we are in the diocese, though we were outside the diocese. And then meeting, you know, I would say my elder brother priest, you know, Father Joseph, Father John Maduri. I have heard about him for a long time. I have, you know, even spoken with him on phone, but, you know, we haven't had that time to sit together and connect. So it was a wonderful experience. And at the end of trip, you know, he said, oh, how are you going to get to St. Jude? I said, well, I will have the seminarian or whoever that is available pick me up. He said, no, I'm going to do that. And then when we are coming back, we had a lot of conversation and he opened his rectory and said, anytime you feel that you want to come over and have lunch, dinner with us, you are invited. So it helped, you know, having, you know, the brother priest there and then building this relationship and knowing that, you know, we care for one another, irrespective of the age difference.
If I may follow up with just one further question, you mentioned as your Catholic Extension, this organization that does great work within our own country, the missionary work that happens in our country. You said something like, well, they don't really need us to do anything. They just want us to learn, to witness, to watch. But what are the ways in which those who view and listen to us can assist in that world?
Well, that's a really good question, because when I said they didn't want us to do, I meant on the trip. Certainly, Catholic Extension does depend on the support of generous Catholics who are interested in really, again, it's not too much a charitable, it does charity. It's not so much a charitable organization. It really is about building up the church, bringing the church to where people are. The works that it funds are things like where we were a literacy program so that the children could continue to learn to read, but also learn their catechetics while their parents were out picking the fruit. It was sort of a child care service, but it was really continuing catechetics and literacy. The work of the church and building of churches in poor and very rural areas, the work of the church by what it takes to put together these masses in the camps. And when they celebrate mass on Wednesday night, it's the whole church. So it's mass, it's the other sacraments, it's a social. That's when the pantry gets done. That's when they build up a lot of their other work. So it really is about the presence of the church, meeting people wherever those particular people are, whatever the particular needs are. Father Juan, you would add to that, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Father Chris, is a great question. And Bishop, what you say is right. So I share my experience with you. My first trip when I went to Little Rock, I fell in love with a beautiful tiny church outside Little Arkansas, Fayetteville, Blessed Stanley. In his life, and he was murdered and a missionary. So I went to the church. It was so tiny little church named after him, the only one, and his work and education. But I fell in love with the people who were there. And when I returned home, I saw the needs of this community and the church. So I have decided, and I asked permission with the pastor to raise a fund to fix the church, because the church had a lot of needs. And they didn't have any instrument. The sacristy was really looked terrible. No painting, the pew. It was really in a terrible shape. And then I fell in love with the sisters, the two Mexican sisters who took care of the children when parents go to work in the chicken farm. So they take care of the kids. And I said, wait a minute, there's something I can do. So I put something together, an idea together. The great thing about Catholic Extension, when you give them an idea, they turned that into a project. So Valerie Rose and Natalie. So I gave them an idea. This is the follow one. I turned it into a project for you. So during Lent, they put it together. They did everything for me. And we were able to raise $20,000 for Blessed Stanley Church and the sisters to educate those kids, teach them about the religion, and to fix the church. And we were successful in that. Catholic Extension was very pleased that we did that for them. I said, not me. The Diocese of Brooklyn did it. We did it. We saw the need. We did it for you to help the church. Bishop Taylor was very pleased. He sent a letter to the church thanking us for doing that. And when I went to Puerto Rico, same thing. When I went to Puerto Rico, I fell in love with the school in Ponce. The school name is Immaculate Conception. I saw the need. The church is knocked out. They have mass under the tent. And the school was a lot of mold. But what they need is AC. It's so hot.
Oh, I can imagine.
Like, it's so hot. And I said, how can I help? And the Catholic Extension said, they need AC. If you're willing to help, that's the way you're going to help them. And they did the paperwork for me. They did everything. And this year, we're able to raise about $15,000 for them. Just for the AC. Just to make sure they have a comfortable place. But it's all done to help them, because when we go to see them and we always say, how can we help them? And they ask me, that's the way we can help them. So Father Chris, to add to what you said, it's not charitable, like Bishop said, we're not doing charitable. We go there to see how we can transform and help them to live that dream, to make them more comfortable, to bring Christ, which is what Christ asked to do. What can I do for you? What do you need? And we're able to provide them certain things that they need. So those are my experience so far on the Russian church.
You know, we anticipated the Sunday. So on Wednesday, we had Sunday's Mass, the Good Samaritan, now, who is my neighbor? And that's the discovery, that we're all neighbors to one another. And so it's not unusual that parishes will partner after, or diocese will offer some kind of support. This trip with this exposure to the priest, that comes from a gift from the Lilly Foundation. That's separate funds. But the money that's donated to Catholic Extension goes very specifically into these kinds of projects. And even on this trip, one of the priests was talking about that literacy program from the local school district and different areas, different levels of government's going, probably not going to have the funding to do that next year. And so one of the parishes was talking about maybe a partnership going forward. So those are some of the fruits that come out of this, that exposure.
Correct. Absolutely, Bishop. It's going there to see. And when we see them, and then we get to listen to them. And then when we come home, we see how we can partnership with Catholic Extension to fulfill those dreams. Bishop Tyson said something that was so interesting. I don't know if you pay attention to that. He did something about the bishop. The camp name is Wagon. Is Hugonachi. The Cape Wagon. The camp that we went to, the children need some help. The government is sponsoring the program, but they don't have any funding. That's the camp. That's very close by to the hotel. And then Bishop Tyson said something, a track that caught my attention. He sat next to me. He said his mission going to this particular camp is like ask people what they want and he give them what they need. He said that five times.
Listen, you're right. Listen to
what they want. He said, I go there to listen and see what they want and I give them what they need. That was so powerful to me. I'm like, wow, that's really amazing. I listen to what they want and I try to give them what they need, which is two different verbs and they were two different ways. So that's what in the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ, when the apostles say, come and see, okay, and then Christ gave them what they need to go on the mission. So we go there to see what they want and then we're going to give them what they need to fulfill the mission is really what Bishop Tyson said. It's so powerful when I heard him say that, to see what they want. And I try to give them what they need.
The Maronall Fathers have a saying, I'm very friendly and really appreciate their work in our universal church. They say, a Maronall priest goes where he is needed but not wanted and leaves when he's wanted but not needed. So it's, you know, that idea of want and need. Here's what I want, but what do I need? And then what you're needed but not wanted. So it's where you're needed but not wanted, and you leave when you're wanted but not needed. It's a beautiful, I think the idea of missiology is so important, especially in our diocese, Bishop. We talk about this being a diocese of immigrants, that we can be missionaries here in Brooklyn and Queens. I mean, in certain parts of our diocese where we walk around, we are a signal in our clerics and by virtue of our ordination of a symbol of the altar Christus.
Sure. You know, we saw real poverty, but we see real poverty right here in Brooklyn and Queens as well. It's a different kind. We see the urban reality here. It was interesting to learn the rural and the seasonal, the migrant, you know, the people who go from up along the coast, along the Pacific coast, as the seasons turn, to harvest the fruits along the way, to work hard at it. Father Ken, I'm going to give you the last word. You spoke about it being something like a retreat. And we spoke about this before recording, and I spoke about it with Father Keeney, but an experience like this not only affects us in terms of wanting to share, partner with one another, but it affects our prayer life as well. And we spoke about the prayers at Mass and how we hear them a little bit differently and pray differently through this experience. Is that your experience?
Yes. Like I said, I haven't been on retreat, but when I came back, I believe that I have, you know, in a way made a retreat because I was changed. I see, you know, even celebration of the Mass in a different way because, just like you said, the fruit of the vine and work of human hands, you know, seeing the farmers, you know, touching the cherries and how much they put your heart, even in the harvest and everything. And then seeing the people who were there in the camp, I felt the need of the human person, which I remember that was Kevin, one of the participants, who said that the essence of this mission, the heart of this mission is to care for humanity. That we can go to the farm and then, you know, see these people, feel for them. And then when we went to the factory, that we can be mesmerized by the mechanics of the machines and the everything, but the human person is at the heart of everything. So if we don't see the human person and value the human person and treat the human person just the way he should be, that means we are missing something. And he concluded by saying that this is exactly what the Diocese of Yakima sees. And this is what exactly Bishop Tyson is doing in his diocese. And this is what he wants his seminarians and his priests to always do. And then this is the reason why we are on this mission.
Exactly. It was so inspiring to see his closeness to the people. And
oh, yeah, he impressed me so much. But let me add one thing to what you say, Father Kenna. It's exactly what Kevin from Catholic Extension does. And it's very amazing. He normally stay at the headquarter, Kevin McCowan. I was so thrilled to see him. And he said something while we were in the factory. And he asked the same question. He said, well, the people picking the cherry, they work so hard and everything. And how are they going to invest in the human person? I know they came to work, job, we're helping them, but how are we going to help them? And this is where Bishop Tyson come in. You know, Bishop Tyson dedicated his life with the seminarian to go on the field, to experience, to help the human person. And I was amazed when Kevin asked that question, because he said, yeah, it's one thing to build, it's one thing to do this, but how about them? How about them? And I think that's what is a mini retreat for us. Well, that's a Brooklyn. We were there with the people on the journey with them. So we love them. We care so much. We worry about them. We would go there to listen to their story. And the story moved me. Every time I go on the trip, Bishop, this trip added another chapter in my life. It makes me see things different. I never came back the same. And I have no idea how much it changed me. If it changed me so much that when I share the story with the people here, they're like, wow, you came back a different person.
We're so grateful to have you, Father Juan and Father Kenna, join us today. Bishop, thanks for bringing us all together to share the good work of Catholic Extension.
Sure, Father Juan, Father Kenna, thank you for your time this afternoon to recap with all this, but thank you for making the trip. And, you know, one of the questions I was asked, they said something about it's nice that the bishop is bringing his priest. But I told him, well, the truth is the priest brought me. I didn't ask you to come along. You asked me. That was a real gift. And so I thank you for making this and for including me and for bringing this good news home here to Brooklyn and Queens. We'll ask God's blessing. And we ask the Lord to grant us this blessing during this time of summer, to keep us safe, to let it be a time of renewal. We pray for our young people during this time. Hopefully that summertime can be for them a time of joy and recreation, and that it may strengthen us for the good things that God wants to do in our lives along the way. The Lord be with you.
And
with your spirit.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you all, and thanks everyone for joining us each and every week on our Diocesan Podcast, Big City Catholics. We hope that you'll join us again in the week to come. God bless.